What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Beats and Coffee Podcast, episode 13. Today we have a special guest. He has over 110K subs on his YouTube Beat channel. He's also got a rapidly growing producer YouTube channel. He made over six figures selling beats online last year, so we definitely want to talk to him about that. And on top of all that, he is a pillar and mentor of the online producer community and seems like an all-around good dude. Please welcome Amito Beats to the podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, man. One introduction.
I try to up myself every time. I'm like, all right, what can I do different this time? So I have a ton of questions for you. But first, let's kind of start with your background. Like, how did you get started in music? How did you get started with selling beats online?
Yeah, so I started at like a super, super young age. Like, I was in grade school when I first downloaded FL Studio. And I got into YouTube. Like, that's how I learned about music production. Like, I watched a YouTube video of some guy making some techno song in like FL Studio 4 or something like super old school. And I remember just like downloading it. And like, you know, as a kid, that was like my video games. Like, I didn't have an Xbox, didn't have a PlayStation. I had the demo of FL Studio on my parents' computer. And, you know, just made beats all throughout like, you know, grade school, started posting my stuff on YouTube. I remember ninth grade, you know, starting my YouTube channel. That was 12 years ago now. And that was pretty much when I sold my first beat. You know, I remember selling beats in high school, kind of really getting into it. All through college, same thing, scaling it up, selling more beats. And after college was finished, like, I was selling beats, you know, as a job throughout college. But as soon as I graduated college, I've been doing it full time for 4 or 5 years now. So been a long time coming.
Yeah. So like in high school, when you start selling beats, like what is like your family and friends thinking, and like your parents, are they're like,
they
what
have
are you doing?
No idea. Yeah. I still don't think my parents know. I don't even think, like, you know, most people in my life actually know like what I do for a living. Like, yeah. People know that I just like sit here and they hear some like random like 808 drum playing for like 4 hours and I don't leave for work. It's like, I stay in this room. So it's like, I don't know. A lot of people, I feel like, don't really get it. They just know I do something for a living, something with music. And that's the gist of it.
Yeah. I usually try to explain it to them and they'll be like, so are you like a DJ? And I'll just be like, yeah, sure.
That's it. Yeah.
That
DJ.
Works.
That's a cool that stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool to hear. Off the bat, I'm going to go right to the video that you did earlier this year where you talked about selling over 2,000 beats and making over 100K. First, let's just appreciate that because that's like a huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
Like,
yeah, thank you.
And then, like, the 100K, obviously, like, that's a wow factor on its own, but the 2,000 beats is pretty incredible also. In your video that you did, you talked about focusing on what is working. And like, I know in, you know, I know for me, I struggle staying within, you know, one niche. Like, I want to be diverse and, you know, I honestly, I don't know what it is. I don't know if just subconsciously I want to prove that I could do other types of music. But tell us a little more about that and how that's been working for you.
Yeah. So as you mentioned in the video, that was one thing that like led to, you know, last year being my best year ever, like, you know, higher sales, higher amounts of beats sold last year. I think a big factor of that, you know, was because I started focusing on what was really successful. But at the same time, like, I'm a super diverse producer. And I think anyone who's listened to my stuff for a while knows that, you know, one day I'm posting a hip hop beat. Next day I'm posting some EDM beat. The next day it's an indie rock type of beat. Like, I still am kind of really diverse with the producer and especially my sound. But I think, like, you know, I've spent so many years like throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall, like just having fun with it, right? Making, you know, whatever beats I want to make. And then like last year, I guess the year before, at the beginning of the pandemic, like that's kind of when my mind shift changed and I started to really focus on, you know, what was actually sticking, right? Like, you know, I spent 10 years just throwing a bunch of stuff, having fun with it, no doubt. And I think that there's still like pros to that and benefits to that. But then, you know, last year and the year before, I just started really paying closer attention to being like, you know, okay, this one beat sold maybe a little bit more leases than this other beat. And then I as soon as I started to realize that, I started to, you know, try and duplicate that success, trying to recreate it. So it's like I had, you know, one beat. It was like this Chance the Rapper type of beat, pianos, trumpets, real gospel style stuff. It started to rank higher on YouTube, started to sell, you know, better than my other beats. So I was like, hey, wait a second. What if I kind of make another similar beat, do another similar, you know, artwork style on YouTube, post in the same ways, try and duplicate that and, you know, have the same results, right? And, you know, sure enough, it had similar results, right? And then I see that now. That's like how you can kind of figure out, like, you know, for me at least, like that's, you know, becoming my signature style. That's, you know, me really, you know, niching down, like becoming super focused after 12 years of producing, finally paying attention to what is sticking on the wall, right? And, you know, for doing that the past 2 years, it's, you know, grown my sales a lot better. It's, you know, brought my YouTube back up. I kind of over the years went up and then down and starting to go up a little bit, and it's just led to more beat sales and you know, like I said, like just really helping the overall brand.
Yeah, no, it's I try to do the same, but I'm so bad with it. Like I even have a whiteboard over there and I wrote down, you know, four artists that, and I'm like, start of the year, I'm going to stick to these artists. I'm not changing. And I've already, it's only March. I've already veered off that, but
I've done the exact same thing, man, all the time. I've picked up my four artists all the time. And I mean, you know, it really just took like me, like really staying consistent, like, and finding something that I love to do, like something that comes naturally to me, right? Like these Chance the Rapper type beats are something that I've really like, I've loved, and they have like good results. So the cycle just kind of continues from there. But, and I still, you know, I still have times where I want to post something like a drill beat that I've never posted before, but I'm really like now just trying like really, really hard to stick to, you know, those four artists and stay more consistent than I have in the past, you know, decade of producing.
It's I find it. It's like a balance of, I say doing the right thing for your business because you know it's effective, but then also staying inspired. Like if you can't stay inspired, you're kind of dead in the water. So it's a balance.
Yeah, I mean there's pros and cons to it. Like I know I say this in the beginning, and for anyone who hasn't heard my stuff, like, you know, I post hip hop beats, I post pop beats, I post indie rock beats. I think there's, you know, pros and cons to doing it. Like, I think, you know, one thing that a lot of people would talk about now is like, hasn't that hurt your algorithm on YouTube? Like 100%, like my big YouTube channel, that one I got the plaque for in the back, like no doubt, you know, posting all these different beats has definitely hurt it, you know, in some ways, but in other ways, like it's helped. Like I got, you know, people who, you know, really like my indie rock beats and I work with them, and I never would have had a chance to work with them if I didn't post that genre, you know, same with my hip hop beats. Right. So, I mean, yeah, there's pros and cons to doing so many different artists. It's just, I think it's just a matter of just like, you know, giving it your everything. Right. Like,
yeah,
I make my hip hop beats and they have, you know, stuff that I learned from the electronic side of things. Right. Or the rock side of stuff that I'm putting in like my, you know, Drake type beats. It's just, it's all in that Omido Beats style of music.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I know you make a lot of like rock beats. That's something I've been dabbling with, and it's so refreshing. Like, I don't know if it's just because the drums sound different.
Yeah, the drums. And it's like, always the drums for me. That's
the fills are different. With. Yeah, it's a fun one to dabble in. So also in that video that, you know, that I was taking a look about, you're talking about quality over quantity. And now I thought about this and I'm like, I could probably search right now, you know, on YouTube and find, you know, five other producers that say it's more about quantity over quality. So tell us, you kind of have an opposite you know, thoughts on that. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, I think quality is the number one thing for sure. But I think that quantity is important, but, you know, only when you're being consistently good, right? I asked the poll recently on my YouTube channel, you know, like, how long have people been making beats? I do polls all the time, like, trying to, like, you know, speak with my producer audience. And one producer was, you know, posting, he posted a comment that he uploaded, like, every day for the past, like, 2 years. And he was, like, you know, barely getting views, barely getting sales, right? And I was, like, looking at this, I was like, man, it's like, you have, like, you know, 200 beats on your page, but they're not, like, you know, really selling well. Like, are these really good beats, or is your marketing top quality, right? You know, and I see, like, I've been thinking recently that I'm trying to explain this kind of thought process that I'm going through right now, but I've kind of realized recently that, like, on YouTube, I don't think you need, like, you know, 50 beats with 100,000 views to make good beat sales. I think you need, like, one beat that, you know, goes kind of semi-viral, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, my YouTube channel, I have a lot of videos that only get a couple of thousand plays, and I have, you know, 100,000 subscribers, right? Like, I don't get a whole lot of views, but I have videos that have gone, you know, semi-viral that get a lot of beat sales, right? And those are the top quality ones. So it's just kind of this thing I'm, you know, kind of realizing recently. And when I'm looking up, like, other content creators in different, you know, industries and stuff, like, you know, you don't always need, like, I'm trying to still explain my thoughts to this, but, like, if you have one post or one beat that's, like, really good quality and everyone's sharing it and viewing it and buying the beat or whatever, like, that can set you up for, you know, years of success, right? You know, and one thing that led to my, you know, really successful year last year, selling a lot of beats and having, you know, my highest, like, revenue generating year ever, was because of one or two really good quality beats that, you know, carried the rest of the year, that, you know, brought people in. They heard my other beats, they inspired me to make other beats. So I definitely think that quality is, like, of utmost importance.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like, you're right. You hear it both ways. Like, you hear people that have had a ton of success, you know, uploading that many beats. But then on the other hand, you also hear other guys that are like, I'm not getting anything here. I'm not getting any traction. Do you, like, right now, obviously, to grow on YouTube, like, the kind of traditional way is to post as often as you can on a schedule. Something that Ryan from the Heat YouTube channel said in one of his videos that's starting to, you know, ring in my head, is he was saying, you know, maybe that's how it was then, but you don't have to do, you know, 7 beats a week. Maybe it's 2 or 3 beats a week, but then it's also supporting social content, you know, around those beats and making those beats. What's your thoughts on that? Like, do you think there's kind of a shift in, you know, the way to get more traction? Is it less beats and more social content around it? Or do you still think that, you know, more beats is the way to go?
That's interesting. And I've heard so many producers say that, like, you know, I've seen producers who have uploaded, you know, daily for the past X number of years who are now killing it, right? And they've, you know, that's worked for them. I don't know. I mean, it goes back to that quality thing, right? Like, I've got beats that I made, you know, 2 or 3 years ago that are still my best selling beat just because the quality of it. So I've been kind of worried about, like, you know, okay, I have this one beat that's, you know, number 50 or number 20 in my beat store. If I all of a sudden upload, like, 30 more beats, you know, are less people going to find that high quality beat that's selling, right? So I kind of look at it, like, from that perspective. But I also think it's a matter of just, like, you know, like, playing by the rules of the social media website. Like, on my YouTube, I know I'm not as consistent, but I have some, from what I think are good quality videos on both my producer channel and my beats channel, that even though I'm not uploading every single day, they're still getting a lot of views. They're still bringing in subscribers or sales. But then on other platforms like Instagram, you know, I find that when I do post every single day, that's when I get, you know, more followers, more engagement, things start to grow there. But that's, you know, all social media stuff around my beats, right? So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, I feel like, you know, you can post less beats, but have more content around your beats, because you can make a ton of content like around your beats. And I think that's something a lot of producers don't realize, that like how much content you can create from just one beat. And that's something I've been doing on like Instagram and YouTube recently, or Instagram and even just starting up like TikTok recently, right? Like, you know, you can have one beat and you can make a video of you playing it, and then you can have another video of you making the beat. And I've been doing this thing on TikTok the past couple of days where I pull up a beat that I already made, and I'd make two different styles of drums, and I ask people what they like better for this beat. It's just like, you know, making all this content around like a couple beats that people are like really enjoying, right?
Yeah, no, totally. And it's the one thing that has me from going all in on that approach is just, I'm worried that, is it the same audience? Like the people that are watching you create your beat, are those more producers, or are they artists that would be interested in purchasing? So it's, I don't know. That's what's holding me back.
I've struggled with that all the time, man. And I've always felt like I've got like a 50-50 audience, right? Like there's some people, you know, who, you know, watch my stuff who are never going to buy a beat. And there's some people who, you know, watch my stuff and they have no idea what they're looking at, right? And I think like, you know, it took a while for me to figure out like what type of content is doing really well, right? And on my Instagram, I think I've kind of figured out like, you know, these ways of posting FL Studio that, you know, someone who doesn't know anything about beats can still watch it and listen. On my Instagram, I do a lot of breakdowns of the beats I made. You know, I show the chords, I show the drums, I show the vocal samples. And it's kind of in this way that, you know, like I said, like the average viewer, the average person can still understand and appreciate it a little bit. But it definitely took me some time, and I'm still trying to figure out like what to do, since, like you said, like, you know, your audience as a producer can be divided into artists and producers.
Yep. And you never, I mean, that I say that, but I say that, or I ask that question not knowing the answer either. It's like, there could be artists that see that and they're like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I got to work with this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing I'm kind of in the same bubble, but I want to talk about putting in work. And I want to get your opinion on this. Like for me, you know, I look at the producer version of myself like 2 years ago. And I, at the time, I thought I was doing a lot, but it's like nothing compared to what I'm doing now, just because I've learned so much and, you know, I'm attacking it from so many different ways. But, and you've been doing this for 12 years, and I get into my head a lot about, you know, like promotion strategy, you know, catching trends, keywords and stuff like that. But part of me, sometimes I'll come to a realization, I'll be like, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm just creeping up on 200 total beats. These guys that are killing it, you know, have over 500, you know, 600 beats. And so part of me is like, you know what? Don't stress on, you know, all the marketing, catching trends, keywords, all that stuff. Just put your head down, put in the work, and you'll eventually get there. What are your thoughts on that? Like,
yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I think about like, yeah, I think about like the years that I started selling beats, like all through, you know, high school and in college, you know, those whatever 4, 5, 6 years that were like the, you know, founding years of my career. And, you know, I remember posting beats online that had like the worst SEO, the worst thumbnails, the worst titles. And like I said, just like not even like playing the algorithm properly, right? Uploading Drake beats, uploading Justin Bieber beats, just doing whatever I want. And I kind of go back and forth with it, because I think like on one hand, like I think like, oh damn, like, you know, if I was you know, making email list and text list and funnels back when I started, I would have been like so far ahead of where I was now. But then on the other hand, I feel like, you know, those formative years where, you know, I just put my head down, I didn't even care about the numbers. I was just making music, posting the beats online. Like, I think that's truly what, like, you know, set me up for success down the road. You know, I remember my YouTube channel. I remember starting it and then hitting 100 subscribers, I made a video. I don't think it's online anymore, but I made a video thanking every single one of the people who subscribed to my channel, because you used to be able to see it in a list on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I remember not even paying attention to the sub count until I hit like 30K. Like, it was like I didn't like blink and it just happened. But I remember like putting my head down at 100 subscribers, just having fun with it, uploading beats, just like working with like artists online, just having fun with it. And then like I, you know, brought my head up and was like, well, there's, 30,000 people now, right? I have no idea like, how it happened, but it was just like, so that's what I feel like. I feel like, if you really just are grinding, like not paying attention and not getting caught up in the numbers, because that's something I do now. And that kind of, at times that can discourage you and distract you. But like, if you have, that mindset of just putting your head down, just working, just giving it your everything, like, I think that will do better for your business than, all these other like small businessy type of details that you can get caught up in.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I feel like when I get in a groove where I'm just like knocking out beats and they're quality beats and I'm liking what I'm putting out, that's when I'm most happiest and I'm not like stressing about it. I'm such like a fan of the online producer community that I'm always watching the videos. I'm always watching, the tips.
Yeah.
I'm always like, well, maybe I should try that. And so it always throws me off. But at the end of the day, everything is like a learning lesson. You learn from it. And also the stuff just, it takes time. It takes time to grow. Like, there are people that kind of grow a lot faster and they get there faster. But I always try to remind myself that, it's a mountain, man. It takes some time.
And I think too, it's like, I try and stop myself all the time from comparing myself to other people. Like, I see these producers who are like, making millions. I haven't hit a million yet. I mean, I'm doing, very well for myself, right? But I see these producers who are killing it. And, sometimes it's like, I feel like, I wish I was in that position. I wish, I had what that producer had and all this stuff. And it's like, that gets me in kind of a funk sometimes, right? And so like all I'm like these days, whenever I kind of find myself doing that, like looking at other producers with, almost a jealous perspective, I try and cut that out. And I just like, I don't know, I'm just trying to be a better version of myself, as cheesy as that sounds. It's just like, I've had so many times where like I get discouraged because like, I just like, like you said, like I study all these people and I get so like, excited and eager, to do all these things. But then, you have to realize that it does take time to get to that point. Right. And like, at the end of the day, it's like that saying, like the only person you're really in competition with is yourself. Right. I mean, these producers can do a million things. It can work great for them. If I did the exact same thing, it might not be the exact same results for me. Right. So that's why it's like the only person I'm really able to compare myself to is myself, whether it be from yesterday or a month or a year ago. It's just, that's the only person I can really like compare myself to.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So you obviously had a really good year this past year. Like, what do you think the potential is here for selling beats? And obviously, like, we've seen the Gabe videos when you get a marketing structure behind you and a team behind you, sky's the limit. What do you think, like? Do you feel you got the momentum and this thing's going to keep growing? Like, how far do you think you could take it?
I think there's like a lot of, more ground I can cover, right? Like I've been producing for, like I said, like I've had my YouTubes for like coming up on 12 years now. I've seen so many producers like who are just non-existent anymore. Like, other people just move on. They aren't producing. I remember this whole like, wave a couple of years ago that, selling type beats was dead. Right. And it was like, every producer was saying this stuff. And it's like, well, like, I don't know. I just had my best year ever last year. Like, I feel like it's not really dead. You see these other producers, like Gabe, who doing these crazy, crazy numbers. I feel like the only thing that's like changing is like the game and how you play it, and you have to adapt. Right. And so even like the past year, like I've, you know, made money with beats that I've never made in years before, right? Like, I feel like there's always, like, more opportunities. And I feel like even, too, just, like, selling beat leases, like, putting it as simple like that, like, I still, like, feel like there's a lot more I can do. Like, I feel like as long as I'm continuously, like, adapting and, you know, like, studying new things, right? Studying TikTok, studying Instagram. Instagram wasn't even, like, a platform when I started, like, selling beats and making beats. Yeah. Like, I've been making beats longer than Instagram was a thing, right? And now Instagram is, like, a huge tool that I use to carry my business. So I feel like it's just a matter of, like, you know, paying close attention to, you know, changes and trying to implement what you learn to your business to help you grow. Like, I feel like there's a lot. I feel like I can keep pushing this, like, hopefully forever and ever, right?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Inspiring. With that said, I have a question here that I haven't asked anyone yet. And I thought of it. I'm like, I should start asking this one. So, like, obviously you've been pretty successful at this, but has there ever been a time, you know, on your journey here where you're like, oh, this is not working, or where things got slow? Like, were there any other times where you're like, all right, you know, I don't think this is working, I might have to try something else?
Yeah, I never know if I've had to, like, I don't know if I've ever had to, like, you know, thinking that I was going to jump ship completely. I've had times where, like, you know, months sales wise have been better than other months. And in those months that, you know, the activity is slow, I've always been kind of worried, right? Especially these days, like, you know, I got a mortgage, I got bills to pay, right? Yeah. I got growing up, like, I got things to take care of. It always gets a little stressful when, you know, the numbers aren't rolling in. But I always try and calm myself down in that situation where, you know, like, I've had months where I've made, you know, like 18, 20K. Like I said, like, I've sold over 2,000 beats last year. I've proven that it's possible. I've seen other producers proven that, you know, not only what I do is possible, but, you know, even better than what I can do is possible. So it's like, I just try and remind myself that, like, it's always possible. Like, if you've done something before, or if you've seen someone do something before, like, the results, the proof is right there, right? So I've never, like, really felt like, you know, this could be it. Like, it's never gotten that bad, thankfully. And I think, you know, it just goes to the point that I was saying before, like, it's a matter of adapting, right? I feel like if I was doing the same thing that I was doing when I started selling beats, you know, in that same mindset, like I said, like, never changing, I think that I wouldn't be doing this, like, anymore. And like I said, like, you know, being on YouTube for 12 years, I've seen, you know, some of my favorite producers that I used to always listen to their beats, always used to, like, look up to them. They never changed. They, like, never moved on from SoundClick even. Yeah. It's like they're no longer, like, making beats, right? Maybe they lost interest. Maybe they didn't keep up with the trends and, you know, stop selling beats. But either way, it's like a handful of producers that were killing it back in the day aren't around anymore. And I think it's because they didn't adapt. So I think that's the biggest thing, you know, especially
that's the long-term thing right is there.
just constantly growing and, you know, constantly giving it your everything.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. Like, day to day, you know, you keep your head down, but, you know, overall, you gotta pay attention to what's going on and what's working and what's not.
Yeah.
So YouTube, I wanted to talk a little bit about that just, and you mentioned this a little already, but I've heard you say that you've had a love hate relationship with YouTube.
Always. It's been a love-hate relationship for years.
Yeah. And like a lot of producers are coming forward saying, like, man, it's almost like, you know, YouTube kind of pushed them for a while and then they've kind of plateaued a little bit or gone back down, you know, from the clouds a little bit. What has your experience been like with that? Like, it sounds like you still have a solid audience that is, you know, interested in what you're doing. But what has your experience been with that as far as ups and downs of YouTube?
Yeah. So just to, like, I guess give people kind of a backstory about why I have this love hate relationship. Now, I remember being on YouTube before, like, the type beats, like, even really hit YouTube. Like, I remember uploading my beats to YouTube and like labeling them just like, you know, synth rap song I made on Friday or something like that. Like, and it was getting like views because there was just no competition. And then I remember like starting to make like, you know, Drake beats. I think this was around when Drake came out with Take Care. Like that was when I started doing like artist type beats. And because there was like no one around, like, you know, I would post a Drake type beat and it would get like 30,000 views in a day or like something like crazy. Right. And it was like I said, like no SEO, like horrible, like everything. The beats weren't even like that great, but it was just like, just because it was brand new, like I was able to grow my channel, like, you know, a really good rate. And then after a while, like I started to, you know, by me not really understanding YouTube and trying different things, like I eventually kind of fell off of YouTube for a bit. I started more on Instagram too, which helped my Instagram account, but hurt my YouTube account and trying different things. So my YouTube channel definitely like was going up and then it went down. And I remember, you know, a couple years ago, like it was weird. So many people were like getting mad at me. They were like, how do you have like, you know, 90,000 or 100,000 subscribers, but like you're only getting like, you know, 2,000 views on a video. And I was like, well, like there's, I guess, two things for this. Like a lot of my success on YouTube, a lot of my growth happened like 6 years ago. Like those people who subscribed and bought beats, like, you know, all those people probably aren't still watching my videos today. They've probably moved on, right? That's, you know, when you've been producing for this long as I have, I feel like such like an old like geezer, like talking about this stuff.
You're selling beats to their kids by now.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, I was like, yeah, like all these people, like, have probably like moved on, right? Whatever. It's just like, that's how it was. I know I wasn't as consistent for a couple years. Like, that's on me. But I was like, at the same time, like, I'm still hitting like my numbers that, you know, I'm still selling beats. I haven't, and it's like, it's why it's kind of weird. It's because like, I haven't noticed a dip like in my sales, even though my YouTube like views dip. So it was kind of weird. So I think it must be like a quality thing. And I kind of just forgot what your question was. It might be rambling on. I'm sorry.
There's no real answer to that question, but I think you did good. My
relationship with YouTube. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I feel like other producers and stuff, like, I feel like right now, like it's so different, like even to rank your video, right? Like I remember a couple years ago, YouTube changed its whole platform and all of a sudden, like, you know, when I search like a Drake type beat, I'm going to get these results. But when you search Drake type beat, you're going to get different results. It's all personalized right now. Like they really like flip a script on everyone. And it's like, I've seen ways that like, you know, my YouTube channel is still like, because it's so old and I've done so many like experimental things over the years, it's hurt my YouTube channel. But I can see like, you know, when I started my producer channel, I had a lot of videos that got recommended. It was like, I guess by me like kind of starting fresh, playing by these new YouTube rules, like studying YouTube, like learning how it works today as opposed to 10 years ago. Like I think that's like, you know, can bring you some success. And that's what's been helping my producer channel grow, is just because it's like new, it's fresh. I got fresh content, fresh mindset, doing like everything they want me to do on there. My beats channel is like a, you know, it's so old right now, but it's still kicking, thankfully.
It's
but
still
it definitely
effective.
Is old.
It's still
yeah.
yeah. I also think part of that is like, you know, people talk about your followers and your subscribers versus like your true fans. I think there is like a set of true fans that stick with you. Like I had some guy that commented recently and I'm like, Oh shit. I didn't know that guy was even paying attention anymore. Like he bought a beat like 2.5 years ago. I'm like, hey, he's still around. He's still watching. That's cool. So
yeah, I just want to like add on to that point of how important it is to like, you know, build that, you know, audience of true fans. I know that like for my website, if I like look at the analytics, one of the biggest sources of traffic on my website is people visiting it directly. So like, you know, over 10, 12 years of having my beats online, I've like drilled it into people's like brain. Like if you want to go to my website, it's this URL, right? And so like, that's like, you know, so many people, like if they want to hear my beats, they just know to go up. They don't have to go to YouTube and Instagram and like Twitter and everything to find my beats. Like I've, you know,
they just type in Amito.
Decade. Yeah, people do that, and that's how they look up my stuff, and it's like amazing. I remember like a few years ago when I figured that out, and I showed some of my buddies who I was working with in this marketing agency, and they were like, that's like insane. Like, people just know your stuff, right? So that's why it's like, I don't know.
Branding.
If you look at a long-term thing, yeah, the branding and just, you know, being around for so long, playing this as a long-term game, like, you know, you'll, and if you're true to yourself too, like if you show your personality and everything is authentic, you know, people will become those true fans that you're trying to get.
That's cool. See, that was a good answer. You nailed it. let's see. Let's talk a little bit about marketing. I think I've heard you say in past interviews with like DJ Payne one in the past of, you know, you've tried some things on the marketing end and, you know, like ClickFunnels. Honestly, I looked into that too. I did the same thing. Right now at this point in my career, it's not for me, but that's not to say I won't go back to it. But like, what are some of the things though on the marketing side that have worked for you, whether it's, you know, email or promoting, you know, ads? What are some of those kind of things that you've been doing?
Yeah. Like, I know there's a lot of producers who, you know, both spend more and do more and know more about like the paid marketing side. I like, if I'm being honest, like a lot of my success, especially the past few years, has come from organic stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to, you know, on Instagram, I remember like spending like $5-$10 a day, like boosting my posts, like trying all these Instagrams out. And then when Instagram came out with Reels and I was posting, you know, one or two Reels every day, I was like, yo, these organic results are doing better than any like paid results like that I've ever gotten before. So like for me, like organic traffic and organic results has been big for me because I'm, you know, putting in that work of quality content on a really, really consistent basis, one or two times like every single day. But I have, you know, spent a lot over the past 10 years in YouTube ads, not really in a specific way. It's been more of an experimental way, trying to understand what's working. And I haven't like really like cracked the code with any like paid advertisements. Like I've, you know, like I said, like I've done Instagram ads, I've done YouTube ads. I do a little bit of email marketing, but that's just kind of sending out like an email blast every month to let people know like, hey, I'm still alive and I uploaded 10 new beats if you want to check it out type of thing. Like I don't do anything like super, super serious with like marketing. And even with like ClickFunnels too, like I've done funnels in the past. I usually do like maybe two, but definitely one like every year, like kind of a big like year end holiday, Black Friday type of promotion type of thing. Yeah. But I mean, like majority of the stuff I do is just like organic. And I mean, I've had better results organic than I ever had paid results. So that's a strategy that's worked best for me.
Yeah. I think if you can get it going organically, like you don't want to mess with that. You want to let that grow on its own.
Yeah, definitely.
With YouTube, I talk about this all the time on this podcast, but like how I kind of grew my YouTube channel was through YouTube paid ads. And it got to a point where, and like a couple months ago, where even that wasn't working well. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go straight organic with it and try to grow it organically. And I've been having like the hardest time because you know how like when you check the analytics, it always says, you know, here's your views this month. Less that it's always saying less than usual because it's used to having
the ads, paid views
behind it. And so it's been like a, you know, 2 months and I'm like, all right, when is it going to stop being less than usual? When will it just be the norm, you know, so they could start looking at me as a channel that, you know, can inch its way back up. So I'm anti YouTube ads. And I've been putting my money elsewhere.
It's like, it's not bad. Like I'm not doing any right now, but I remember like when I started my producer channel, which like had, you know, decent results, I got like 5,000 subscribers in like, you know, 1 or 2 years, which I was super happy with. I did a little bit of paid advertising, but I also paired that with, you know, content. So like, it's hard to like give like the definite answer, but like right now it's like, you know, I was doing all these paid ads and posting content, and I finally got to a point where I posted enough content that even though I stopped doing the paid ads, like it's kind of stayed consistent, right? So that's when I stopped like doing the paid ads altogether. But I know what you mean. Like it definitely takes like a little bit of legwork to get there, and a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of magic in the algorithm, like posting the perfect beat or video and having that take off a little bit, right? It's just sometimes you need like that, like one little push, right? And as soon as you, and that's exactly what I talked about in that YouTube video where I, you know, had over 2,000 beat sales. It's like, once there's that one little thing like that, you just need that one little spark of magic or whatever. And then you just give that your everything and you just try and grow that into something big.
Yeah. So, email lists, like is how you, I imagine you probably have a huge email list just from all the years of doing it. And you know, that all the sales and stuff like that, usually you get the email, you know, off those as well, free downloads, whatever. But like you mentioned that, you know, you only use it sparingly. How effective is it? Like if you're doing end of year campaign, like are you seeing results from those campaigns? And the reason why I ask is because there's like, I think there's two kind of types of thoughts as far as gathering emails. One is like the BeatStars free downloads, and then Robin Wesley, he's like, don't do those. You're not going to get like all the information that you need. The way he does it is do like the lead generation on your webpage, get their name, get their interests, and, you know, give them a little survey of why are you, you know, interested in these beats. I've done them both ways. I've shut off my BeatStars free downloads and just done it his way. And people definitely, they're quality contacts, but they come a lot slower. Whereas when I turn on the BeatStars free downloads, like they're just flying in like crazy. And so what, I guess what I'm trying to figure out, like, yeah, my email numbers are like shooting up like crazy this year, but is that going to lead to anything? Is, you know, what are your thoughts on that? I'm wondering, that's something that I'm like battling in my head. Do I go for like the quality lead generation or just go for the quantity right now?
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely like pros and cons to doing both. Like a lot of my artist list is from previous buyers, so I know it's like a good quality like list. But I have a producer list that just passed like 1,000 signups. And I only started it like a year ago. And the only thing I really did with it was post a video online where I gave out like five free like guitar loops, and you could get it if you signed up. So like I grew this list to like, you know, 1,000 followers or 1,000 signups by just like one YouTube video. So I mean,
pretty damn good.
I know it was pretty good. I hit 1,000 today. So I got excited for that, but, yeah, I mean, I think it just like, you know, your subscribers are one thing. It's a matter of what you do with it, right? Like I could have, you know, a list of 10,000 artists. And if I'm bombarding them with messages and always being so salesy and all this stuff, like I know it's not going to work, right? And I know that like, you know, my kind of email marketing and my approach and strategy is like you said, like I use it sparingly. I send out a big email blast once a month being like, hey, you know, I uploaded these, you know, 10 beats last month. I've still got this beat sale on, like, hope you're doing well type of thing. Quick message. The times of the year where I use it more often are like my year end sales when I'm trying to promote stuff. But I even know at those like year end sales when I'm sending like, you know, 3 or 4 email, like blasts a month, like those numbers aren't like as good as my one a month. Like, I guess like more people get ticked off, more people unsubscribe. Like, so I think it's just a matter of like, you know, what you do with it. I don't like to be like super, super salesy. I get emails from producers and just companies I've bought, you know, clothes off and stuff that hit me up every day. And I'm like, this is like so annoying. I don't want to see this. Right. So that's what I kind of think of it as.
I hear you. I know. I think I get an email every day from like Pizza Hut, and I'm like, I don't need that close of a relationship.
Yeah, I know. It's like, so that's why I think like it must be like so annoying. So that's why like every like, you know, once in a while too, I like to send out an email blast, like not salesy. Like I'd be just like, yo, I'm looking for new music. Send me your mixtape or something. Like just that's that, like just to remind people, it's like, yo, like I'm still human. Like,
yeah,
even though I'm trying to run a business here, like I don't want to constantly be that guy that all the time is just like, send me money stuff. Right. Like I want to actually be like authentic and, you know, build a real relationship with these customers or artists.
I've done it, or I do it, I'd say like one or two times a year, but like if I see a sale for like a plugin or something that I know, you know, could help someone recording music at home. And like, if I'm excited about it, I'll send out an email and be like, hey, this thing's 50% off. So I do that too, but I do also have, if someone downloads a beat, they get about like 10 emails from me, like automated. I try to do it sparingly. I think it's only like once a month or, you know, once every 6 weeks, but it's just trying to educate them on, you know, give them value, you know, as an independent artist.
Yeah. I think that stuff is good too. Like I never had success with that, but that's because I never put in too much effort to it. Like I tried it like, you know, for like 2 days and I was like, oh, this isn't working. So I gave up on it. Right. But I think that's just like with anything, like, you know, if you figure out what's working for you, like, and what works, and you go through all those, you know, trial and error periods, like you'll figure out like the successful formula.
I had, the thing about it, it's like, since it's automated, like you don't think about it. I go on with my day and it's just being sent out. But I had one, like someone sent me a message where I'm like, okay, yeah, this is actually working. Is, she's like, hey, she was reaching out about an exclusive and she's like, are you in the New York area? Hey, you could meet me in the studio, you know, meet me up to record this beat. And I'm like, whoa, she must feel like she knows me a little bit. Like she's inviting a complete stranger in the studio with her. So I think it's good in that way. Like it gets them a little familiar with your personality.
Yeah, of course.
So the producer YouTube channel, you're just talking about that. Where you're kind of taking your business is where I want to be eventually, you know, 5 years down the road. I want to have like the selling beats on lock, but then I do want to start a second producer channel, where I could upload content for producers. And that's just me because I love this stuff. I love discovering new plugins, new synths and all that. How has it been for you? I know yours is fairly new. Like, are you enjoying that as much as uploading the beats?
Yeah, definitely. Like it's been like a goal of mine for like so many years. Like, and I think it's because, you know, me like starting on YouTube, like I've always had a love for the platform and I always like kind of always feel myself coming back to that idea. And then, you know, throughout the pandemic, like 1-2 years ago is when I finally started to like, you know, make the videos. I really have like a big love for like editing videos and designing thumbnails and getting the lighting right in my studio. Like it's something I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. The only thing is like, I just got to get like into that routine, right? Like I have such like a good routine of, you know, making beats and selling beats and everything on lock. Like it's like breathing for me at this point, right? Like everything I do on the beat side of things. And it's just like, it really feels like in a way, like starting over in a way, like starting this brand new channel. Like, I don't even really, like, promote it a lot, like, you know, in my email list or on Facebook or Instagram. I'm trying for the most part to grow it organically within YouTube. So that's why it's, like, really, like, a starting from scratch thing. But I don't know. It keeps me on my toes. Like, it keeps me thinking in different ways. You know, whenever I watch, like, a video and, you know, even, like, you know, podcasts that you've done, like, I try and think of it, like, how can I get inspired from this or what can I take away from this and start a new YouTube channel. So I really like love it. I wish that like I did my videos more consistently because like I always get into like the habit of like, you know, posting one or two videos a week for like a month and then just like, you know, forgetting about it for like 1 or 2 months and then coming back to it, right? So it's just like that consistency thing I'm learning, but it definitely like it keeps me on my toes. It has me thinking in different ways. It's definitely something I see a lot of potential in. And, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest thing for me is it's just like, it's really like a passion project, right? Like, you know, I talk about like, you know, how I hit 5,000 subscribers in 1 or 2 years, like, you know, on my Beats channel, I could do more than that in 1 or 2 years, right? So it's not like the world's biggest accomplishment, but I just, like, I really have a lot of fun with it. So that's something that keeps me going on it.
It's funny how you just described that is exactly how I am with this podcast. Like, it's definitely not my number one focus, but I just enjoy doing it. And like, when I stop doing it for a little bit, I miss it. And I'm like, okay, I want to get back into it. And just for anyone that's listening, if I do step away from it, it's because my focus is on selling the beats and growing the beat channel. And so I'm living it with you guys. Like, if I'm away for a couple of weeks, it's either one, because my 9-to-5 job is pulling me away, or two, I'm behind on the selling beats stuff. So I totally relate.
Yeah. It's just not the consistency thing. It's like, you know, like I said, like after a decade of posting beats, like I'm, you know, super like, you know, consistent, like everything just comes natural to me. I just need to get to that point with my YouTube channel, but it's something I love. So I'll always stick with it. Right.
That's awesome. I had a note to make sure I asked you about this too. There was an Amito Beats podcast back in the day, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was an Amito Beats podcast. Yeah, there was. I ran it for, I don't know, maybe 6 months, and I did it pretty consistently, like once a week for 6 months. It was a fun project too. It was, again, just like a passion project. I had a buddy who, you know, got me into podcasting, and I was doing it for a while. And you know what? I learned a lot from it, like stuff that I still do today. Like, that was the first time, like that was before my YouTube channel. That was like me right out of college. So 4 or 5 years ago, that was the first time that like I ever like kind of spoke to the camera and spoke in front of a microphone, right? Before that, you know, I never like ever like showed my face or my voice. Like, I always had like my logo online for selling beats. So that Omito Beats podcast was definitely like the first steps into like everything I'm doing today, where like I can feel myself talking about beats. I'm comfortable. I know how to, you know, not only talk like on, you know, on a Zoom call like this and with a microphone in front of me, but you know, I'm comfortable picking up my phone and calling artists, like talking about what I do. So that Omito Beats podcast, you know, rest in peace. that was definitely the first steps to a lot, you know, bigger things that I'm doing now.
That's cool. I picked it up for a while and was listening to it. I had no idea that was before like your YouTube channel. So that's interesting to hear that.
Yeah,
now.
It was definitely like the starting point. Like I've had a dream of doing my producer channel for so many years now, but that podcast was the first steps. And that's something that I did that I, you know, in ways I feel like, you know, 6 months of doing a podcast, which at the end of it, it only had like, you know, 20 listeners a week or whatever. Doing that, planting that, you know, seed, you know, 5 years ago, like I said, like I learned a whole lot from it that I still use today.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It's just, it's pushing yourself to keep growing.
Definitely.
Let's see. I have some random things here to talk about. In your videos, you, I see you use Splice and Arcade a lot. I do myself as well. And lately I was off Arcade. Like, I tried it out and then I'm like, okay, this isn't for me. And then I didn't use it for like a year, but now they've been coming out with so many cool kits and stuff. I re-signed up. One thing for me, I find that is a problem with it is it's such a wormhole, because I totally get distracted and get away from my beat idea, and I just start searching through all the kits. But for with Splice and Arcade, do you ever, you know, feel weird about using the samples? Do you ever experience sample guilt or anything like that?
Not really. Like, dude, I swear I have an addiction to Arcade. I think ever since I've gotten it, I've used it in every single beat. I don't think I have a beat online now that doesn't have some form of Arcade in it. Like, and I don't have a, I never face like sample guilt. Like when I got into, you know, music producing, two artists and producers that I really looked up to was Kanye West and J Dilla. Like two people that are known for sampling. And I got into music, like sampling a lot of beats. A lot of my early beats were sample stuff. And then, you know, when I got, you know, kind of bigger with my beat selling stuff, selling to more people, I remember Spotify, you know, first becoming a thing. A lot of people, you know, were all of a sudden getting paid from their music. That's when I, you know, I took a pause to my sampling, right? Because I didn't want to put out stuff that people would have issue with, right? And I know there's like this saying that like, oh, it's not the producer's job to clear the sample, it's the artist's job, but I just don't want any issues down the road. So for a while, like I wasn't sampling anything, and that's when I had like this, like, you know, hole in my heart, this sample sized hole. And then when Arcade when Arcade and Splice came on, dude, that just filled the void for me. So it's like, for me, you know, being a sample-based producer when I was started, these plugins have been like, you know, my absolute favorite. And I love the way they sound. I love how I can just like make like a sample sounding beat that's, you know, not going to cause any issues for the artist. Cause that's like, I don't want to have any issues for my buyers where they're trying to buy something and then they're going to, you know, get in trouble later on. Like I just want to make everything good. So, you know, Splice and Arcade, I use them all the time. I have a huge addiction to Arcade, like I've said, and I absolutely love those plugins, man.
Yeah, I love Splice. I'm all in on Splice. Even if it's just for like I mainly use them for like the drums and the one shots, but then even just random sounds. And I'm not proud of this, but I do feel sample guilt sometimes. So if I do find a cool sample, I'll start working with it. But then a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I could just, let me try to remake this. That's me. That's on me.
But, I've never had that before, man. Cause like the way I think of it is like, you know, even if I download a sample, like I know some producers won't agree with this or whatever, but even if I find like a loop off Splice and I barely change it and I post it online, like the way I'm marketing it is going to be different, you know, and then my my artists are going to do something different with it anyways. Right. So,
yeah, honestly, like if I think about it seriously, the only people that would even notice would be other producers. Like there's no way a buyer.
Dude, I get excited, like, man. Every time I hear something on like the radio or like I hear another producer's beat, it's like, you know, I remember back in the day, like people get so hyped when they like, you know, heard an old song and they recognize a sample. It's like, you know, I'm driving in the car, I'm listening to the radio, I hear a sample from Splice, dude, I get so excited. I tell my fiance, I'm like, dude, I know exactly where this is from, and I made a beat like with this exact preset or this sound. Yeah. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I get so excited about it.
I know Decap, like his little vocal chops are like everywhere, like in mainstream music. It's crazy.
I get stoked. Yeah, I get so excited, man.
It's funny. So anyway, though, I have been using Arcade a lot more. You're right. It's a blessing, really. It, especially, you know, it, like for me, if I start falling behind on beats, I hop in there and I could whip something up pretty quickly.
It's a lifesaver, man. And even just like the sounds, like, you know, a lot of my like production and inspiration, like even though it comes from hip hop, I take a lot of inspiration from like ambient and electronic music and a lot of, you know, producers who, you know, use like the tape loops and all these weird sounds. And I just love like all these textures and ambient sounds in my beats. So I don't know, man, in ways I feel like this Arcade is like the perfect plugin, like for me. And I've been hyped like ever since I first got it. Like I had some people who tell me like the way I talk about like these plugins, like, you know, some guy on my YouTube channel, he was getting like mad at me. He was like, dude, it's so obvious. Like, you're paid by these plugins. Like, just admit it. You're going to get in trouble. And I was like, dude, honestly, like, I'm not paid by these companies. I just love them so much. And I get so excited about them because, like, I love them, like, so much. But I don't know. Sometimes people are like, this is, like, so fake. No one is this excited about plugins. But I'm like, man, I'm this excited about these plugins.
That's funny. Let's see what else here. So working with, like, artists, you mentioned this a lot, like a lot of your customers are reoccurring customers. Like how are you reaching out to people? Like I often hear artists where, and it sounds weird where if I hear someone that I think is super talented, sometimes I'll try to reach out to them, you know, and be like, hey, if you need any beats, no charge, you know, if they're that good, I'm like, no charge. I'll send you whatever you have. Like, what is your approach for working with artists and discovering artists?
Like, I did a lot more of that when I was first starting making beats. Like, I don't do a whole lot of it now just because, like, I got my hands full with, you know, posting my beats for everyone, like, trying to, you know, sell my beats to everyone. But I remember, like, you know, when I first started, my YouTube channel, I remember, like, in high school, you know, spending time on DatPiff and going looking at these new mixtapes that people uploaded and trying to work with artists like that. And I remember that's how I got like my first like beat sale was I went on to DatPiff. I would like browse all these new mixtapes. I would message artists and, you know, eventually like someone who I was sending a lot of beats to, they wanted to buy a custom beat. So that's how I sold my first beat. So in the beginning, like that definitely like, you know, like I said, like that helped me sell my first beat. That kickstarted everything, right? For you know, 12 years to come. So I used to do a lot more of that. These days I'm not like, I haven't done it too much just because like the past, you know, couple of years I've been working on my own brand, like my personal brand, like growing the Omido Beats brand as a whole. But just recently I had a project that I executive produced with this artist named Moonlander. And, we spent about a month, almost every single day on Zoom, producing this album. And, dude, it was so fun, man. We spent a couple hours, like I said, like every single day for a month. Hopefully the project comes out like later this year or whatever, but man, it was awesome. He's like a really talented guy. And it was something that like, I haven't done, like I said, since I started selling beats. So like 10 years, 12 years went by where, you know, I barely worked one-on-one with an artist, but I found someone who, you know, was really talented, who I definitely see a lot of potential. Him and I, like, we speak the same language when it comes to music, and we have, you know, a lot of the same mindsets and styles that we like. So I really, really liked it. And he's someone that I'm going to be working with a lot more. And I can definitely see myself like working a lot, you know, more one-on-one with artists, like, especially now that I figured out like how to do it over Zoom. Like, dude, it was so much fun, man. We worked like every single day, like I said, for a month, like producing an album over Zoom. And
that's awesome.
It was an awesome experience. I really loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a, I guess that's a progression if you want to go that way. But like once you got kind of the selling beats on lock, like it feels like another gradual step would be, all right, let me see if I could work with one of these independent artists and get them to, you know, help get them to push.
And that's what I felt like for me. It was like, you know, like I said, like, you know, all these years went by where I was just focusing on growing my own brand, the Omido Beats brand. I feel like now that I've like, you know, got this on lock, I can kind of like experiment with different things, like try out different things. And, you know, I've always kind of been about that, like trying different things, but it's just one other thing that I can kind of try, like, you know, working with one artist, learning from them, learning a bit more how the artist side of things work too. And even through all these Zoom calls I had with him, like I got a better understanding of how like artists see beats too, like how they want them, like, you know, structured and produced. So it helps me a lot, like more as a producer as well, because now I can better craft my beats to suit an artist after working with one on a one-on-one basis.
I froze for a second there, but I think I got it.
I was just going on a ramble, so all good.
No, it helps. You cover the space. And speaking of, like, you know, what the progressing and what the future holds, like, I mean, I always daydream about this stuff of like, oh yeah, you know, I'd try to push artists. Another thing that goes through my head is, you know, we see all these producers putting out plugins. So I always think, like, if I got to a point where I, you know, had a lot of disposable income and I was trying to, you know, kind of leverage this thing and grow it, I think I might put out I have an idea of like putting out like a CLA vocals plugin, something similar to that, but for, you know, independent artists and singers and rappers. Like, I think that would be a beneficial plugin for my beat selling audience to try to push out to them. Have you ever thought of doing anything like that, like a Omido Beats lo-fi plugin or something like that? Has that ever crossed your mind?
I haven't, like I've seen like more producers like do it, and it's like super like amazing for me, like to see, like, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Right. I've never like thought about it personally, just because like, I don't know even like really where to begin with that. Like, I'm sure I could find some software, yeah, like developer and partner with them, but I don't know, man. It's something that's like such a foreign concept to me. I feel like there's a lot of other things that I would do first, just personally, yeah, like, especially like with YouTube. Like, I could see myself, you know, growing my YouTube channel to like a million subscribers and then doing a plugin type of thing. Like, I feel like, just because I know a lot about YouTube and that's like where my passion is, but I don't know. I don't want anyone to get disappointed, but I don't think for the near future there will be an Omido Beats plugin, but knows, man, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea how it works. It's so foreign to me.
I think you have to have the brand first for
it. Yeah, that's what I want to do, right? Even like, you know, with my YouTube channel, the second producer channel, like, you know, I have all this like stuff that I want to do, like as a producer, like later on, like, you know, even maybe like touring and stuff like Kato has done, where he meets up with producers and stuff like that. But I just feel like there's, you know, even after 12 years of producing, like, I feel like there's a lot more I can do on the personal brand side of things before I make these even bigger moves. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't want it to sound like I'm like never going to get there. Because after 12 years, like, you think I would be at this level. But I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of different ways I can continue to push this. Like, I feel like I haven't yet reached, you know, the limit. Like, I feel like I'm, in some ways, I feel like I'm still on the ground, and I still like feel like I got a lot more ways to go and a lot of more things I can do.
That's a good thing. as far as, so you have 12 years in the game, you have a huge catalog of beats. Have you done anything in like the sync placements game? Have you ventured into that area?
Only a little bit. The past year or two, I had a couple of beats and a couple opportunities with some sync licensing companies. I had a couple beats get played on this talk show in Canada, which I was pretty stoked about. I never saw it. I just saw it when my royalty statement came in, and I was like, hey, that's that big talk show in Canada. And it's E-Talk, if anyone is wondering. And I never saw it, but I guess it must have been in the credits or something somewhere. But I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's interesting, but it's a different, like, it's a different ball game for sure. Like, you know, I don't really have, I've never like chased placements before. I've like kind of tried to, but my heart like definitely wasn't like in it. Like, when I was sending out like loops and stuff to producers and artists, like, it wasn't my best material. Like, it wasn't what I love to do. So just within the past 2 years, like, I've had some opportunities that they were presented to me, and it was something that kind of worked naturally with me. I didn't have to step too far out of my comfort zone and do something too different. And, you know, so that's why I got into like a couple like sync libraries and a couple, you know, placements on TV, like I said. But it's just that, like, what I find, you know, after 12 years of playing the beat leasing game, is that it's just, like I said, like, it's a totally different game. You know, I feel like your mindset has to be different. Your standards, your expectations have to be different. And the way I can see myself continue to do these, you know, placements, sync placements, opportunities is only if it like kind of fits naturally with what I'm doing. Like some of these opportunities that I had, they just picked my beats off of YouTube and we worked out an agreement. So it was like, it was super easy because it was something, you know, not too far out of what I was already doing. So for me, like, it's just like, it's like I said, like, it just has to be naturally with what I do.
Yeah. As we're talking about this, it's bringing back some memories of like way before I even was producing beats consistently. I had built up, you know, I don't know, like 50 or so beats. This was like before YouTube and all that. And I somehow submitted to some site, you know, and some lady showed interest. She's like, "Oh, can you send us this one? We're thinking about it." And she never responded. And I'm like, okay, you know, probably busy. And this poor lady, I must have emailed her like six times over 6 weeks just because I wanted that validation of, oh, I got a placement on, you know, this TV show. And as that feeling's coming back to me, that's one of the things that, well, the main thing is just time, so many hours in a week. But one of the things that holds me back from going after like the sync placements is like, I like selling beats online because, you know, you're independent. You don't need anyone's approval. Like you're not trying to get anyone's approval like you are in the placement game or in the sync game. So yeah, that's, if I did it, it would be, I don't know if you ever heard Gummy Beats talk about it. He's like, I dedicate, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week to it. And then that's it. And then I move on to the next thing. Like if I ever got into it, it would be that kind of approach to it.
Yeah. It's just different, man. Like, you know, I got placements that like, I'm still trying to wrap up. Like, you know, I've got, you know, opportunities, you know, where it worked out, but we took, you know, so long to finalize, like, you know, all the deal and the paperwork. Right. And at the same time, someone can go and buy my beat instantly from my website and, you know, the money's in my PayPal account that night, right? So, and like I said, there's money to be made. There's a lot of money. There's, you know, good money. It's just, it's different, right? So, I mean, I think it's a matter of where your heart is, right? Like I got, you know, friends who, you know, they started selling, you know, type beats and now they're in the placement game and they don't do type beats anymore, right? And they love it. They make good money. That's their thing. It's just my heart is definitely more in the independent beat licensing game. Like that's something that I definitely get a lot more excited about.
Yeah, I think for myself as well. All right, two last questions here, and then I'll let you go. One is what motivates you? What kind of content are you watching? Whether it be like the producer grind, you know, Gary V, like what are you consuming content wise to keep you motivated?
You know, man, I think I like I've watched like all Gary V stuff. I remember, you know, having his book, buying his shoes when he came out, like, and I've seen a lot of the producer grind stuff, but like, I spend a lot of my time like studying and becoming inspired from like people who don't even make beats. Like one of my biggest inspirations on like content and what I'm doing right now comes from this guy on TikTok who he plays like this hand pan. Like he makes videos every day and he's playing like this like metal circular instrument and his YouTube or his TikTok is just blowing up. He's, you know, taking those videos, posting them on Instagram, YouTube, and I'm watching this and I'm like, I watch these things from the perspective of like, that's crazy. How can I do that with beats? Like, you know, I even saw this, like this, I don't know. There's like these people on TikTok who just like unbox like candy and they just like eat candy, but they're just like getting tons of views. And I watch this stuff and I'm trying to like, you know, dissect it and like see how I can, you know, use it in my own brand. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the inspiration I get, you know, comes from these people who aren't even making music. It's just like,
that's interesting.
I don't know. Like, yeah, like this hand pan guy is just like, I'm obsessed with him right now. And he just like, he uploads his stuff on Spotify and I'm like listening to like 30 minutes of just this like metal drum playing. And I'm just like thinking, I'm like, this is absolutely genius that this guy is like making a killing off of this like little drum that he has. And it just like, it inspires me and it motivates me. And I don't fully know how I can connect that to my brand, but
yeah,
you know, he's posting like every single day online or like three times a day on TikTok. And I'm like, man, I got to post more often too. So it kind of like, you know, kicks me in the butt. It kind of gets me moving in ways like that.
That guy's going to be on the Billboard Hot 100 next month. You watch.
I mean, I'm definitely doing it. I bet so many producers just heard that. They're like, what the heck? Like, what is this guy talking about? But man, that's like, honestly, like my inspirations come from like weird places, right? Like even like for my hip hop beats, like I get, you know, I hear this like electronic, like ambient song and I try and make that into like a hip hop beat. And I try and incorporate that into my like, you know, rap beats and stuff. Like I'm all over the place with my inspirations, man. I always have been.
Yeah, dude, I do that too. Like, you'd be surprised of how many of my beats come from like 70s hits when I'm doing the dishes and I'm like, oh, I'm going to steal that chord progression or something like that. But final question here. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Are we at the 500K at that point? What are we thinking?
I hope so. I mean, I hope in 5 years that I hope I'm ultra consistent with my producer channel. Like I hope I just, you know, like I said, like I know this is going to sound like cocky, but I know selling beats like the back of my hand, like it's, you know, a daily part of my life. It's like breathing. I hope that my YouTube channel, the second, you know, channel, like where I'm filming myself, I hope I get to that point. I hope I'm still doing it. I hope I'm still selling beats. Honestly, like I love, you know, the type beat game. I know a lot of producers, like they say, like, you know, in 5 years, I want to produce for Drake and I want to only do placements. Like, I hope that I'm still working with independent artists, like, honestly. And I hope, like, I, you know, collaborate with a lot more people independently on Spotify and YouTube and figure out cool things on TikTok and Instagram. But I just hope I become a better content creator amongst all platforms and still do stuff independently and with independent artists. That's kind of where I see myself and where I want to be.
That's awesome. After getting that that sales notification 2,000 times last year, do you still get excited when it buzzes?
I do, man. Honestly, dude, I get so stoked, man. It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, I hear my phone go off and I'm just like, yes. Like it doesn't even have to be a big one. It could be like, you know, $15. And it's just like, I get so stoked, man. It's like it, I don't know. I absolutely love it. I'm so thankful to be like in the position like I'm in. Like every day I'm just like, just super, super grateful. And it's hard to believe, like it's real, especially after, you know, like 10 years. Like I remember, you know, in high school, like, you know, skipping class and, you know, trying to sell beats off my iPhone, right? Like doing stuff like that and still doing that, like, you know, 10 years later, right? Like going out shopping,
awesome.
Going into the next aisle and trying to reply to a message or two, right? But yeah, I don't know. I just like I'm just super thankful to be in this position, man. It's been crazy.
That's awesome. Well, you're an inspiration to a lot of us out here in the producer community. So we hope you keep pushing forward and keep
definitely.
Doing it.
Honestly. Definitely.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, man. It's good to chat.
All right. Talk to you.